This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Busy, busy show. It is finally game week. Mr. Durham, how are we doing?
I'm great, Pat. Great to be with you on a Monday. Looking forward to visiting with Jeff Hafley at 8 o'clock this morning as the Eagles welcome Colgate to Alumni Stadium. And that's the start of our triple header here on ACC Network this Saturday. But yeah, I'm excited we finally get around to game. Seems like we've been talking about practice now for, I don't know, a month and a half or so.
We have, but we'll get to all that stuff. But let's not fast forward what happened over the weekend. Let's go to the world of West Durham, and I'm talking about stuff up and above Falcons preseason football, because that's why you're back there in Cartersville, and you'll be here in the basement tomorrow. But what about your big weekend, my man? Congratulations.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. The folks at Apex High School on Friday night, where I graduated from, let's see. Boy, that was a long time ago. Nice enough to induct me into their Athletics Hall of Fame. I'm humbled by it, to be honest, because there wasn't a whole lot of athletic achievement in my career.
Well, now you tell us.
But I love being on teams. Huh? Now I tell you. Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. They may think this out. Maybe they picked the wrong West Durham. They thought that West Durham that averaged 22 points a game on the hoops floor. Wait a minute. That's not the same West Durham. Don't say it now. You've already got
no,
the award.
Different guy. That has to be a different guy. But no, it was great to be there, and they were very kind to honor me that way with some other great people. I mean, there's a young girl who has set like state records in lacrosse. TJ Evans, who was inducted, was a member of a state championship basketball team. A peer of mine, Howard Watson, was in the 21 class. Obviously, like a lot of people, they did two classes at once. And a peer of mine, Howard Watson, who I had the good fortune to be his teammate. He was an outstanding three sports star in football, basketball, and track. And it was good to see Doc Watson there the other night. And the special moment for me was, and actually, this kind of relates to you, Pac. You're gonna laugh when I tell you this.
I'm not in any Hall of Fames. So, it cannot relate to me.
I know you're not, but
Zero.
It does kind of relate to you when you hear the story. So Bob Matthews, who was really one of the more impactful teachers I had, he happened to be the baseball coach and the soccer coach. He came in from the Pittsburgh area to be there. Bob is in the Hall of Fame. A couple of his former players, guys who I know, Phil Howard, Stuart Nisbet, were there. It was great to see those guys. But I got a chance to visit with Ed Tindall, who was an athletic director the first couple of years I was in school there. And Coach Tindall's obviously retired. But one of his good friends, Pac, and this is where you come into the story, one of his good friends is Joe Kennedy. Does that name ring a bell?
That would be no. Joe Kennedy.
The football coach at Davie County High School.
Don't
when
know.
You were in school.
I don't remember Joe Kennedy.
What?
I hate to say
well,
it.
Well,
I don't
he remember. Remembers you.
Well, that's he, probably because I own money.
He remembers you.
Probably lost a bet to Joe.
And Coach Kennedy and Coach Tindall are friends.
Joe Kennedy.
And he watches the show. They both watch the show on a regular basis. So it was good to hear from them. And a lot of kind comments from folks who watch the show and enjoy watching us in the morning. But thanks to Scott Ferguson, the athletics director at Apex High School, the Cougar Club, people like that for the honor the other night. It was it was a real blessing and an honor to be there.
Did Joe Kennedy teach like biology or something like that? Because all those coaches, I mean, you know, you're teaching something during the day. Joe Kennedy. I have to look that one up. I got to be honest with you. I don't remember much of my days at Davie High School. I really don't. I hate to say it.
Yeah. He had two sons, I think, that were kind of in your age range, but Coach Tindall was there the other night and mentioned that he and Coach Kennedy both watched the show. So,
all right. Well, congratulations.
That was cool to hear.
And, Joe, I apologize if you're offended.
Thank you
this
very
morning.
Much.
If Joe's offended this morning, what do you mean, Pac doesn't know who I am? I'm sorry. It's just right now. Maybe it's just too early. Maybe we need a Mountain Dew or something to jumpstart my day. I had a tough weekend, man. So, it'll be easy on me.
Now, wait a second. What? Because Roddy Jones's Braves took 2 of 3?
I'm kind of embarrassed by that. I mean, seriously, we lost a series to the worst division leader in baseball. It's embarrassing. But congratulations to Atlanta. Nobody will be a bigger Braves fan than me for the next three nights.
No question. There's no doubt about that.
Joe Kennedy. I'm going to have to look up Joe Kennedy. I'm going to have to look up Joe Kennedy during the break. Maybe I need to jumpstart my recollection on that one. I remember Joe. I just remember our football teams weren't very good. Sorry, Joe. Again, I'm killing poor Joe Kennedy this morning. I'm not sure I know who he is. I just remember our football teams were not very good. It was a golf school. You know, it was like Clemson. It was a golf school.
Well, I got, you know, in hindsight, we had a tough night on the gridiron, too. Fuque Verena beat Apex the other night, so that wasn't
Did you have any kind of speech written for this extraordinary event? Just curious. Did you grab the mic?
I had a couple notes, but they
did. Give me your best line.
Well, just a couple notes. Wait, yeah.
Give me your best line from your acceptance speech. Your best line, right now. Come on, let's go. Hey, I'm trying to figure out who Joe Kennedy is. Gives me time to look up Joe Kennedy. Give me your best line before we get to football.
I would say this. The thing that I mentioned the other night is that, you know, and like you, when you go to high school in a small town, right, it means – it's not that going to high school in a big city doesn't count. I mean, and there are lots of kids that do that. But to me, I'm just proud of where I come from.
There you go.
I referenced the Kenny Chesney song, Back Where I Come From. And, you know, it's spray paint your name on a water tank, stuff like – I mean, that's what Apex was. And you know this. My dad went to high school in Albemarle outside of Charlotte. My dad played on a – state championship football team for Toby Webb, who was a central figure in my dad's life. And, you know, for me, you know, my high school basketball coach, John Griggs, is a central figure. He's always been somebody that I have, to this day, I call coach. And I think that's kind of where high school, you know, as much success as I've been fortunate to have professionally and personally for sure, that the things that go on where you're impacted by those people, you don't forget that stuff. And, you know, in that case, John Griggs wasn't there the other night, the basketball coach, but Bob Matthews was, who was a central figure in me being able to kind of find my path.
Did you finally come clean about egging the principal's house back there in your heyday? I mean, that was the time to do it. I mean, once they give you the Hall of Fame, they really can't take that thing away from you. I mean, you could have come clean and said, listen, me and Bobby Joe and Crazy Larry, yeah, we egged the principal's house back there in 1987 or whatever year it was.
No.
I mean, I have no earthly idea. I have no idea what you're even talking about.
That did
I'm still
not
trying
happen.
To figure out Joe Kennedy.
That didn't happen, Pike.
Golly. now I'm going to have this complex about Joe Kennedy. I've got enough issues today, and I've got to deal with Joe Kennedy trying to figure out who Joe Kennedy is. Gosh.
You'll be all right. It's game week, man. We'll figure it out.
I'm ready for football. It was so great Saturday to turn on College Game Day. It's great having those guys back. We'll get to those guys though later. And just see people having fun. Bands, noise, all that good stuff. And then, you know, I watched Illinois and Nebraska from start to finish. I want to thank the University of Nebraska because that will be my topic this afternoon on Off Campus on SiriusXM Channel 84 beginning at around 4 sharp. We'll get into Big Red. And, you know, I will tell you, watching that game, Wes, I thought of, number one, Brett Bielema being back in the Big Ten, being back in college football. And even though they lost their quarterback, second string comes in there, and they kick Nebraska all over the yard. And it dawned on me, hey, Virginia, you get these dudes in a couple weeks. And I know when we went through our list of games, non-conference, the ACC, we know what Clemson's about. Now everybody else, you got a chance to step up and make and change the narrative. Virginia and Illinois will be a little bit more difficult than I originally thought. And that's why week one, you start getting some answers. I mean, we could speculate all summer long, but you don't know squat until you watch a game. You really don't. And every team in college football will be different than they were a year ago. That's a guaranteed lock. So I did watch Nebraska-Illinois. It was just great to have people in the stands, noise in the screen, the background, the atmosphere, which makes Saturday so special. And this week, of course, it gets started early when you and I get a chance to actually leave our homes and go to Raleigh on Thursday. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, it's really a treat to be able to see people back to a degree in the norm of a college football environment. The other thing that, you know, I'll take away from the weekend is no matter whether it was UCLA, Hawaii, Fresno State, and UConn, the other night San Jose State and Southern Utah, watched some of that, or the game you mentioned, Nebraska-Illinois, the mistakes are compounded early, aren't they? I mean, when young people make mistakes, the fact that the Nebraska kid, you know, lost, didn't know where he was on the field on the punt return, ends up being a safety, things like that. That kind of stuff just doubles itself early in the year. So be mindful of those mistakes, whether it be, you know, Thursday night in Raleigh, Friday night Blacksburg, Winston-Salem, whatever the case may be. We work into that full Saturday schedule. It's going to be interesting to see just how much that stuff comes into play in these ball games.
And then, of course, you go marquee matchups on Saturday with Miami taking on Bama, yeah. Clemson, Georgia. And any little mistake gets compounded, because when you start playing really top-notch quality teams, hey, you just can't screw it up. So this is going to be an awesome week for all of us. I don't care what team and what league you follow. College football is back. It felt like week zero was like the perfect appetizer. Gave you a couple games. You know, check out UCLA and the 14 people that showed up to watch them look really good. The Nebraska-Illinois game gave you something to talk about, and now it is go time in college football. And I speak for 100% of the people that watch this show and any show that involves college sports. We are thrilled to death to be in a position that you're going to hear and see college football the way it's meant to be. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time. We've got a great opening weekend schedule for you. We mentioned the triple header on Saturday on ACC Network. We've got games on Thursday and Friday as well, in addition to the marquee games that you'll see across the ESPN family of networks or on ABC in the case of Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday night's Ole Miss-Louisville game on ESPN, Labor Day night, ACC teams involved. So looking forward to the start of that. We've got news items to go with and more. But what are you most excited about? What part of this really, really gets you jazzed up for the weekend? Because it's Monday, and by Thursday, people are going to start putting black under their eyes and taping their ankles, Pac. Be time to go now.
Thursday? How about this afternoon? Forget Thursday. By Thursday, you've already gone back for your 15th deal of charcoal to get the grill cranked up. I mean, we're ready to go, man. Listen, as crazy as this offseason has been, right, between expansion, alliance, name, image, and likeness, NCAA screw-ups, transfer portal, college football playoff expansion, we have been through it all. Really, May, June, July, and we're still at the tail end of August. We're just ready to kick the pig. I'm just telling you, America is ready to watch games and start breaking down. Hey, can you believe coach did this? Can you believe this player? Well, how about that play? What a terrible mistake. We're ready for it. We're ready to get into that conversation Monday through Friday, and it starts this week. Thank goodness.
Yep. Looking forward to it. We get Clemson, Georgia on Saturday night, and, of course, Alabama, Miami on Saturday afternoon involving the ACC. There are five AP-ranked matchups on Saturday, the most in week one since the preseason poll began back in 1950.
Let's do it. You don't need to give me all this stuff. I think we're ready for it. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. All right, we told you Jeff Hafley coming up 8 o'clock. Lauren Brownlow joins us at 8:30. We'll get her thoughts as she gets ready to dive into a week full of football as well. But when we come back, the news items of the weekend and an issue in Charlottesville developing. Despite the master plan for an upgrade, there's a vote of confidence to Carla Williams by the Board of Visitors that they support the funding of a $136 million athletic project. Come back, talk about that next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's Monday. Game week.
Yeah, so let's fire everybody up. I told you
my interview. Don't poo-poo the...
I told you my first interview with Kenny Chesney, didn't I? I've told you that story. After making fun of him on the radio, he was going to be at the local radio station, do country interviews, and they gave this whole list of all the people in sports. Don't make any references to Kenny Chesney. He's coming to the studio. And they gave me that list, and it was just like, I'm going to rip this to shreds. So I read it the first 15 minutes of the show, and I said, I have no idea who Kenny Chesney is. Now, little did I know, Kenny Chesney was with all the executives, and they had everything piped off so they would never get close to our show. And Kenny Chesney was having cocktails with our executives in the corner office, and the only thing that they forgot was that the executives played our show over the loudspeaker, so Chesney heard every word that I said. Chesney apparently gets so upset, he says, I want to go on that show. And so my boss was livid. I mean, livid. He jerks me out of my chair. Do you know what you did? I said, I know exactly what I did. He goes, well, guess what? We got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He goes, Chesney don't want to go to the country station. He wants to come on with you. And I said, well, bring him on, whoever he is. And I really had no idea who he was because I don't listen to country music. And so I'm go back in, on the air and start telling this story, which the executives just despised. And this guy Chesney comes walking in, and I went, who is this guy? And he walks in and sits down. He's got his cowboy hat on. He takes it off, puts his headset on. And it can't be 5'5". Sits right there beside me. And I said, apparently we have Kenny Chesney on the show. Kenny, I got to be completely honest with you. I have no idea who you are. It's my first question to Kenny Chesney. And Chesney looked at me and said, well, that's cool, bub, because I'd never heard of you either. And guess what happened? We hit it off. It was awesome.
Y'all got along great.
Oh, he talked about Tennessee football. We talked the whole hour. And the best thing about it is we had so much fun on the air, and he was great, that he blew off the country station. And boy, let me tell you something. I loved it. But boy, the executives didn't care for it. So, Kenny Chesney.
No.
But I tell you what now, he loves college football. And he's not one of those celebrity
dudes.
He's not one of those celebrity dudes that, you know, hey, my team's hot. Let me just show up on the sideline and pretend I'm really into it with the school colors. He follows it and loves it. So good for Kenny Chesney. So there you go.
Yes, he does.
The Kenny Chesney story.
Yep.
Just for you, Wes.
And we will not be pulling for his team in week two. We can assure him of that.
No, we're hoping Pat Narduzzi goes down there and wins the Johnny Majors Classic right there in Knoxville. That'd be nice.
Yep.
But we'll worry about that in week two. We got to worry about week one first, Wes.
All right. Let's get to this story that appeared in the Daily Progress. And nice reporting here by Brian McKenzie about the Board of Visitors at the University of Virginia telling athletic staff on Friday that they do support a $136 million athletics project. Now, you may remember a couple of years ago, Bronco Mendenhall was quoted as saying, you know, we only have 27 ACC-type players in our football program and things of that nature, right? Well, now, Carla Williams, in the most recent board meeting, told the board UVA football facilities are the worst in the ACC. She also said men's hoops breaks even. And it's going to be interesting. She's quoted as saying, to support UVA football is to support other sports, and that means providing the football program with the facility they need to compete. Bronco Mendenhall then further says, we've lost 8 recruits in a row, and we're talking about 4-star, 5-star recruits. They look at the facility, and it says to them that we don't care about football. Now, you may say to yourself, if you follow the ACC and keep an eye on these type resources, well, Virginia's added an indoor facility. They've redone a building here. They've got a master plan set to University Hall's been closed and things of that nature. They're going to build all sorts of things in that general area near Davenport Field, Klockner Stadium, things like that. But yet Virginia is still looking to drive it more. Pack, I'm excited if the Cavaliers can get this funding from their Board of Visitors, but the statement by Bronco Mendenhall is a strong one.
Well, I mean, he's the coach, but even more importantly, there's more power called your athletic director. Carla Williams is one of the brightest minds in the business, and when that boss says, hey, here's what we need, then maybe some folks should pay attention. You know, Jim Phillips, the commissioner, talked about the emphasis on football in this league. And when you take inventory around the country, in the ACC, listen, all you got to do is go down to Clemson, South Carolina, see Dabo land and understand, all right, they're one of the elite. This is what they're doing. If you want to compete in college football, you must reinvest. You have to. If not, you are fooling yourself. So when I saw this story break over the weekend, Wes, I nodded like, hey, you know what? They're 100% right. Now, you know, whether they get the cash and the funding, I have no idea. I don't understand the politics of University of Virginia. They'll have to work that out. But Carla has talked about this with us regarding that master plan. If schools don't reinvest into their sports programs, their academic funding, the whole routine, guys, you get lapped. I mean, you could talk about what you used to do, what it could and should have. You know, West Durham back in Apex High School back in the 80s. Hey, man, it's 2021. You better get with the times and understand that if you're going to compete, whether it be in the classroom, on the football field, the hoops court, whatever the case may be, you have to put in the money. I say it all the time. You want the answer to a question? Follow the money. And if you don't do it, you know what? It's like putting a Band-Aid on a tourniquet victim. I mean, at some point in time, you're dead. You might survive for another year or two, but you will not compete at the highest level if you don't do it. So it will be interesting, as you like to say, as we look to see what Virginia does moving forward. But I think you have to do it. You have to either make the commitment that we want to be a factor on the football field, whatever the sport may be, or you just sit back and hopefully at the end of the year somebody writes you a check for being mediocre. And, you know, if you're competitive and you're in the sports business, there's always that DNA, I think, I assume, that you want to be the best at what you do. And at the University of Virginia, it's a great academic institution. Bronco's done a nice job. Carla's got a great vision, great leadership. So, hey, Virginia, you know, if you want to get there, this is what it's going to take. So tag, you're it. Let's go.
You know, there was one point in the 90s where stadium expansion was the big piece of football in the Atlantic Coast Conference. From about 1995 to about 2002, you had nearly every football stadium in the ACC go through some sort of expansion or renovation or whatever. Somebody had a stadium project going, basically. Then we've gotten to kind of the football building, right? The facilities building, if you will, or whatever the case may be. Here in the last, eight, 9 years, it's been indoor facilities, places to practice. You know, Florida State and Florida were notorious for never having indoor facilities. Miami never having an indoor facility. And those three schools have now put indoor facilities on the map. For Virginia, it really looks like that a facilities piece is one part of it. But, Pac, you and I both know they renovated and expanded Scott Stadium many years ago. I'll be interested to see what next steps Virginia takes, because if the master plan that Carla Williams talked to us about, 18 months ago, right after we first launched, it'll be interesting to kind of see how all that fits at the University of Virginia. By the way, the introduction of basketball into this conversation is also curious to me as well. John Paul Jones is now, 12, 15 years old? I mean, that building has moved along. It's a little bit like you're surprised when you realize that the Smith Center in Chapel Hill is almost 40 years old. But Virginia's got a quality basketball product, and they have been patient and gotten through the long game in football. Now, Cavaliers aren't where North Carolina and Miami are this year, at least in preseason hype, but it doesn't mean they can't get there. But Mendenhall citing recruiting is an interesting wrinkle to this conversation. Because the last time he did it, you know, Virginia started to turn north with their success in football.
Well, the comment that, hey, basketball is about ready to break even, given the success that Tony Bennett has had for the last decade plus, national championships, ACC regular season titles, the brand has certainly been established as one of the teams. That should tell you everything you need to know. I mean, they got a beautiful facility. They've won at a ridiculously high level. They've got a perfect coach that fits the school perfecto. And you're sitting there going, well, we're getting close to breaking even in men's basketball. That should be a wake-up call across the land, not just in the ACC, but across the board about where we are. And that's why football becomes so important. Well, I said this last week on radio. We are reaching the crossroads in college athletics. This is why I thought the Alliance was important. There's some folks that don't get it, and that's okay. You eventually will. But we're going to reach the point where there's going to be four leagues and their commissioners that really run the show here. And there's going to be schools around the country that do not fall under the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 category that will now have to determine whether football is important to them financially. I mean, this is an expensive sport. There's a lot of schools that are taking a bath with football. Is it the king in this country? It is. But if you're not willing to make the commitment, like you see in those four leagues that I just mentioned, guess what? You're never, not ever, ever, ever going to compete on that level. You're not. Now, you might spike every now and then, but not consistently. So going back to the Virginia deal, hey, you've got to make the commitment. Are we in? Are we in to compete at the highest level? If the answer is no, fine. Deal with it. But don't complain when all of a sudden, as Bronco said, hey, we're losing 4 and 5 star recruits 8 in a row. That's going to happen. When you're an 18-year-old kid coming out of Apex High School and you're a 5-star like Wes Durham, hey, you start going to these schools and start seeing the buildings that you were talking about, Wes, the stadiums, the indoor, the facilities, the academic opportunities. And let me tell you something. If you're behind in that category, all those kids talk. All those 4 and 5-star dudes, now they know, hey, man, wait till you go to school X, Y, and Z. It's awesome. Wait till you go to school A, B, and C. Man, their facilities stink. If you don't think that doesn't have an impact, you're out of your mind. So schools are going to have to make the ultimate commitment. Are you in? Go for it. Or if you're out, deal with being mediocre. And occasionally having a spike, we have a nice season. That's where we are.
Yeah. Well, and in the world we're in now, everything kind of counts. And I'll call your attention to watching the Miami All Access show last week. You start to just see what they've done, you know, at the University of Miami, adding their indoor facility, refurbishing their football offices, kind of expanding the back end of that building. You know, lights in the hallway, jersey models, all sorts of it seems a little bit like overkill. It may be, if you don't follow it, it's actually keeping up with the Joneses.
That's right.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's an area now where you kind of say, well, wait a second, that can't possibly be important. Well, it's not important. It's staying in the game. And if Bronco Mendenhall is citing recruiting, I think that's a really, really interesting card to have to then counter, because he's now had success, played in the ACC championship game, you know, had a star quarterback in Bryce Perkins, now has Brennan Armstrong keyed up and ready to go. Virginia has one of those chances this year. Every win now that Virginia gets will almost kind of add to it, right, Pac? That's the part about this that when you have these conversations, we all know it's a production business, and every coach will tell you the production line is winning. And that's one of the things certainly that Virginia's capable of this year.
Well, and if you don't have a trophy case that's not collecting dust, you know, you showcase all the stuff you just talked about. Here's our uniforms. Here's the flash. And you've got to be able to do that, because 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids that come to your campus, they want to see all that stuff. You know, they want to get the pictures taken with the unis on, and hey, here's the shoes and all that crap. You know, to me, it's all whatever. You know, you got to find your fit. But if the school doesn't make the commitment, Wes, you can't BS people. Man, kids know, man. They want to go where the place is cool, it's hot, we can win, we got great unis, here's the rings, all that stuff. And if you don't have that to deliver on a recruiting trip, you know, you're going to lose out. And so Virginia, I thought, drew the line in the sand. And that's why this story is so interesting, that when you see the comments made by the top with Carla Williams and your head football coach, you know, it's time to take notice. And Virginia, hey, make the commitment. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a football of power, and again, you can still have your great academics, and that's never going to go away with UVA. But if you're going to make a commitment to be good in football, you have to do it. You cannot cut corners. Cannot do it.
Well, and they've got great leadership. We've talked about, you know, we're big fans of Carla Williams and the job she's done at UVA. They've played the long game with Bronco Mendenhall. They played it with Tony Bennett. They got great command in baseball and other sports as well. Unbelievable success in swimming and diving and other areas. I mean, look, Virginia's an outstanding program. But Jim Phillips has said that at the top of his mission statement is performance in football. Because as Pac said, football is now a revenue item in this league, and it's a big one. And so that's going to be part of what you're going to see through the University of Virginia as well. We'll keep an eye on this one and update you accordingly as we move along. Don't forget, we start our ACC Network football coverage on Thursday night from Raleigh. Yep. South Florida, Jeff Scott, the former Clemson co-OC, brings the Bulls to town. to meet the Wolfpack. 7:30, ACC football presented by Dr. Pepper. Dave O'Brien, Tim Hasselbeck, and Kelsey Riggs live from Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh on ACCN and the ESPN app pack. One app, one tap. When we come back, winning early. Yeah, like September. When you get to winning, how much does the value of wins early count? We're going to show you some records since 2016 that you might find pretty interesting. Next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, show number 449. A lot of folks never thought we'd be past double digits. We hit the road. We're heading to Raleigh on Thursday. Hurricane, no hurricane, wet, dry, toughy. You got 3 days. Get your act together. We're coming.
Hey, man.
To your city.
Tell you
Raleigh,
what,
NC.
Thinking about those folks. Let's think about those folks this morning down in the bayou and on
no
the
doubt.
Gulf, right?
Man, amen. What a, God oof. Bless you. Oof. Goodness gracious. And weather people, yep. Please get out of the way. Yep. Please do me a favor. Just go back to the studio. Man, stay safe. I think we've lost one life. I saw one person lost in the storm. It is no joke. I mean, 150 miles an hour. Be careful. No question.
Absolutely. We were talking going to the break about good starts early, right? We got some big games now early. First couple of weeks, Pack. First 3 weeks, we got big conference games and non-conference games that we want to keep an eye on, right?
Right. We got the big one Friday night in the league. Big one Friday night in the league and some opportunity games. That's really what they are. They're opportunity games for the ACC to hopefully change the narrative of what the nation thinks of the league this side of Clemson.
All right. If I told you Clemson had the best record in the month of September since 2016, you wouldn't be surprised, right?
At all. No. They got a zero.
Okay.
Zero in the loss.
Who do you think has the worst record in the ACC since 2016?
Well, our smart people in Bristol compiled this stat, and this is what I like to call a bar bet. And if you went up to an ACC fan and asked them this question, in all likelihood, you could say, you know what? I'm going to give you three more guesses and see if you can get it right. Because if you could have given I think, 10 guesses, and I wouldn't have gotten this one right.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Clemson was a no-brainer. But the bottom of the list, I would not have guessed it.
North Carolina is 7-11 in the month of September since 2016. That is a stunner.
Would not have guessed that. Would not have guessed that. I mean, since 2016, I would have eventually gotten around to Florida State probably because, you know, the last couple of years have been a struggle. And they play people of note. But I would never have guessed North Carolina dead last in that category since 2016. Clemson, to me, was a no-brainer. I knew they hadn't lost. Yeah. Miami's gotten off to a pleasant surprise here at 15-2. And you go through that list. And again, granted, you know, some teams play a tougher schedule in September than others, so there can be some fool's gold in there a little bit. But 7-Eleven, the convenience store for the Tar Heels there in the 14 spot, you could have given me 10 guesses. I probably wouldn't have gotten to the Tar Heels.
Here's the thing that caught my eye about this. You see Miami 5 games behind Clemson, but then look at the cluster of teams where it's like Pittsburgh to Virginia Tech. There is the win differential is 1 or 2, but the percentages are significant. You know, anywhere from 76.5 down to, you know, 56.
Like I said,
57% with Pittsburgh.
A little fool's gold, because to me, Pittsburgh has always played a really good non-conference schedule. That's why I think they could get off to a good start this year, because I don't think their non-conference schedule is nearly as difficult as it's been the last couple of years. So to see Pitt at 12-9, in some respects, that could be maybe more impressive than some of the teams on the left side of the column, other than, you know, the 20-0 and 15-2 is strong. And Virginia Tech's actually played some decent teams too. So, you know, I think Pitt's kind of deceiving at 12-9, but I would, like I told you, the North Carolina number 7-Eleven. Didn't see that one coming.
All right, we're going to roll the calendar back now to 2010, and we're going to look at best home winning percentages in the month of September. All right, would you have guessed NC State?
Yes.
23-2.
I would have. You know why? Again, I keep telling you, who do you play? Right, NC State, for the most part, has had kind of a light September. They've gotten off to great starts. I would not have been surprised by NC State. I don't know if I'd have told you they're 23-2, but I'm not overly surprised that NC State's that high. I'm not.
Okay. All right. Now, you see Virginia Tech, by the way, 19-6, and the Hokies get Carolina on Friday night, of course.
Now, wait, Wes.
Road winning.
Wes, hold on, yes. Hold on. Time out down here in Cartersville. I gave you this stat last week about Virginia Tech at home. All right, and I'm going to emphasize right. this one because Lane Stadium's got a great reputation, one of the tough places to play. It is a phenomenal place to watch a game, right? I've been there a gazillion times. My wife's a Hokie. But I gave you the stat last week about Virginia Tech at home since 2010 against ranked teams, and it stinks. At some point in time, Virginia Tech at home is going to have to step up and say, guess right. what? Enter Sandman. This is Lane Stadium. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to ruin somebody, right? Friday night is a monster in this league. For North Carolina to live up to the hype and for Virginia Tech to make a statement that, guess what? You guys have been sleeping on us all summer long. And that record against ranked teams at home, like I said, it was almost embarrassing given the reputation of the stadium. Mm-hmm. So I suspect Friday night will be a zoo at Lane. Now, whether or not they can tackle and block North Carolina, we'll see. But go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's a good point. I think when you counter the road success with the home success, it gets interesting. Now, the best road winning percentage in the month of September since 2010. Clemson, no surprise. Virginia Tech, 10-3. How about Duke with double-figure wins?
I knew who I wasn't going to see on that list, and they need to figure it out if they want to get back to Charlotte.
Virginia.
And that's Wahoo Wah. You know, Florida State on the
11-6
road.
11-6 Duke.
You know, since, again, 2010, those Knowles teams in the early part of the decade were pretty good, including that national championship team. So, again, those numbers can be a little deceiving. I think you got to do a little deeper dive on who the W's were against, right? I mean, there's some folks can load up on Cupcake U six times and say, oh, we won 15 in a row at home. Okay, great. Well, did you beat anybody I've ever heard of before that has a football program? So, you got to, again, be careful.
Before we go to break here, this is my favorite part of the year. Because at this part of the year is when we get back into talking about games and little nuances about games. And, you know, people say, well, y'all are killing my school or you're blowing up my school. It's great to hear you talk about X school. And the Y school fans will come in there and say, well, you're killing us. You don't like us. Trust me. Hard Rock Cafe, folks. Love all, serve all. Right, Pac? We love everybody. We are all power. In football, we want 14 teams to win 10 games. It's not going to happen, but that's what we prefer.
It'd be nice. I'd settle with four as opposed to 14. I mean, it is the ACC network. I mean, it's in our best interest for the league to do well.
That's right.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So here is a number. This is a bar bet, as Pac says. Might be a trivia note for some of you others. Since 2010, North Carolina has the worst road record in the month of September of any ACC school. Only team with a losing September record. 19-21, okay? The last time UNC won a conference road game in September was 2008. 2008 against Miami.
You don't think that's very good, Wes? Huh? That doesn't impress
you?
By
the way, that win was later vacated. Right. That win was later vacated. Before that, it was 2005 at NC State.
See, now the State fans are going to be upset with you bringing that up. The NC State fans are going to be mad. They know you're wearing a red shirt today, and they appreciate that. They know you're coming to Raleigh, and you just went in the Hall of Fame at Apex High School. But NC State Nation is going to take exception to that comment because guys are going to say, no, it was 08. It was 08 against – don't bring us into this deal. Last time the Heels went on the road and beat somebody in the league in September. The NC State fans don't want to hear that from you, Durham.
Listen to you.
And you set that up by going, hey, we're here to serve all. Then all of a sudden you do a little to NC State like
not.
That.
I did
Yeah,
not.
You did. I know how I you
did
operate.
Not. I just read the information. Yeah, right. Okay.
Hall of
so
Famer.
Keep – there it is right there. Cougar pride right there.
Cougar pride.
Power of the Paw.
Oh, yeah.
Not power
like
of the
a little
Paw.
Cougar pride to That's get you it. Going on a Monday morning. That's it. Let's yeah, do it. I'm ready for some football.
I know you are. You're tired of talking numbers. We're talking
I am.
To Jeff Hafley at top of the hour.
We've been giving you bar back. Bets since May. Bar bets since May. It's time to kick the pig and get on with this thing. Get Tuffy. Wake Tuffy up. Let's go. Get him ready. I'm bringing bones.
No. That's with meat we're on way it. Too early for that. We got to come back. Trevor Maddich on Clemson's defense. And how do you qualify this group? He'll try and do it for us virtually next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a game week Monday. Thank goodness we've kind of reached the starting line.
Yeah. You're ready, though. You want the ball on the tee now. If you could get it now, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
KTP. Kick the pig. Let's do it.
There you go. All right. It's hallmark. Last handful of years has not only been electrifying offense, it's been dominant defenses. And nothing new with Brent Venables. The Tigers are expected to be really good again. And Trevor Maddich breaks apart Clemson with some help from James Skowski and Brian Brzee.
Clemson's defense could be the best one that Coach Dabo Swinney has ever had. Now, that's a big statement, considering that the last time the Tigers took the field, Ohio State scorched them for 49 points in the playoffs. But they are talented, they are angry, and they are on a mission to avenge that nightmare with a fantastic mix of young stars, like the ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year, tackle Brian Brzee, and the grizzled leadership of sixth-year super senior linebacker James Skowski. It's the perfect combination of exuberance and experience. And now we're joined by James Skowski and Brian Brzee. You guys are the absolute epitome of experience and youth. You're 19, right, Brian?
Yeah.
How old is James?
35.
No, 23, man. Can you dunk? Easy money?
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know. Double hand, one, between the legs, what you could.
Whatever you want.
All right. I wish I was that athletic.
I've heard James described as the perfect middle linebacker, the perfect combination of experience, toughness, leadership, with just the right amount of crazy. What does crazy look like with James Skowski?
I wouldn't call it crazy. I would just call it more, I mean, he's just super intense, you know, and it might come off as crazy to somebody who doesn't see it.
See, I think we call it intense, but the rest of the world calls
it
crazy.
Yeah, you know?
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
Let's say that you are a linebacker's coach and you could look at James and give him some coaching points that you want him to work on this year. What would you tell James if you're his coach?
Ooh.
I'm excited to hear it.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, be honest. What do I got? What's my weakness?
I really don't know.
But don't,
I can't think of anything.
Well, we can't expose me.
No, I know. I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything.
What advice would you give him going from year one to year two?
He just needs to clean up, you know, just polish up everything. You know, he's not – there's no real holes in Brian's game. That's what makes him so great. So, man, just getting older, keep polishing up the game, and he's going to be unbelievable.
The song remains the same. Clemson's Tigers are the kings.
James, you've already won 5 ACC championships. What needs to happen to make this year your sixth?
Just – stay the course. I mean, we've got a great plan every year. Coach Sweeney does such a good job. Man, we just buy in to what it takes. We know we're good enough to win it. You know, we know we're good enough to win a national championship, to win ACC, all that. So, man, if we just one day at a time, we'll be just fine.
As you see the potential of this defense, James, what do you think that identity would be if everything comes together the way you hope it does?
I think we can be the best defense in the country, without a doubt. I think we have all the pieces. And then, you know, I've played so many years, I should know what I'm doing by now, you know. So I hope we can just bring it all together.
What stands out about this Tigers defense is the precision of their violence. And it starts with Skalski. He often knows what the offense will do before they do it. So while they think they're attacking him, he is actually attacking them. And it's all pre-snap read. He knows that when there's four blockers on four defenders, the offense likes to run that way. But if they do, the guard that's supposed to block him has to double team for a moment first before he comes up to block Skalski. That's all pre-snap. So what he does is comes up and fires that gap before the guard can come off the double. He's making a tackle for loss, and the guy that was supposed to block him is wondering what in the world just happened to him. That's experience. Here's youth and talent. Brian Brzee, true freshman last year. Raging bull, relentless, powerful. This is the sack at the end of the Boston College game that iced the victory on a day when BC led that game most of the way. And he's one of many talented youngsters on that defensive line. Another is Miles Murphy, incredibly talented. But on this play, Skalski thinks he's going to go to the A-gap. Instead, he goes to the B-gap. This is where Skalski's experience makes Murphy right. When he sees Murphy in the B-gap, he pushes him to keep him there, and then he comes on inside to fill that empty gap and make the play anyway. It is this combination of experience, talent, and just plain fury that propels this Tigers defense.
They're going to be filthy. There's no question. And that game Saturday night is going to be awesome because both those defenses Saturday night right here in my backyard, 3 miles away at Bank of America, Wes. It's going to be fascinating to see which offensive line can dictate any kind of tempo in that showdown. But Clemson's defense right. should be really, really talented and good.
I'm glad Murphy got a little run in there, too, because he's going to be a huge piece of what they're doing.
Goodness gracious.
Xavier Thomas.
Tyler
I mean,
Davis.
It's going to be really, really interesting. Well, to watch Clemson roll the personnel Saturday. Because remember when we got to a few years ago when it was all those heavy guns and artillery with Wilkins and Bryant and Farrell and all that crowd, you started looking at how they would rotate during a series, how they would rotate from series to series. I think that's one of the interesting pieces to keep an eye on Saturday night. Watch how Clemson plays their personnel. There are not many people that have the depth of personnel that Clemson has. Who are the others? Alabama, Ohio State. Let's see how that becomes an advantage for the Tigers on Saturday night against the Dogs.
In week zero, there's already a story, and I think this is one that's going to pick up steam as the year goes on. And it was mentioned here with Trevor, super seniors. You know, I watched Illinois and Nebraska. Yep. Illinois has 29 graduates on their team, 20 super seniors that came back. That's an old team. In fact, they have more graduates than anybody in the country. I think as the year goes on, there are going to be some teams with those super seniors, those 35-year-old guys, as Brzee said, they're grown men. They're out there playing football. So keep an eye on that storyline as we go on to week one and beyond in college football in 21.
There you go. When we come back, off to Chestnut Hill in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts on this Monday morning, we go to hour two with the head coach of the Eagles of Boston College, Jeff Hafley, who joins us next on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.